Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. And of course, that opening song is a reference to a scripture verse from Revelation. For those of you that recognize that, we've ended up here finishing Daniel chapter 11. And I believe this is yet future. It says, "He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain." Well, I mean, there is a palace of his tabernacle between the seas in the glorious mountain already. Now that I come to think of it, it comes to my mind. On the Temple Mount, there is something called the Dome of the Rock. Is that one of his tabernacles? Well, it's certainly not one of the holy people's tabernacles, because that was destroyed in 70 AD. Like I said, I don't believe it'll ever be risen up again. I also don't believe that the Vatican is going to set up a tabernacle or is going to set themselves up in the Dome of the Rock. I believe that they will attempt, and probably, of course, certainly if I'm true, right about an interpretation here, but the Dome of the Rock, if you've seen, our presentation, the presentation by Walter Weiss, the Islamic connection, you'll find that that the Vatican is responsible for setting up Islam. If you haven't seen that presentation, it's a DVD presentation by one Walter Weiss, though I don't agree with him on some things in prophecy. I believe he has done some excellent presentations. What I disagree with him on is not that important at this time. Perhaps someday we'll get into that. But most of the work he has done, I believe, is right on, and especially with the Islamic connection, showing how that the Islamic religion was invented and has come out of Rome as a antithesis or antithesis to fundamentalist Christianity, or even, well, basically to destroy true Christians, because I don't consider the Vatican and Catholicism a truly Christian religion, though I believe that there are truly faithful people in that religion that don't really know the depths and of what's going on there. I mean, you know, I have no disdain for the Catholic people. As a matter of fact, I know a number of them, and they're wonderful people, and they're good people. And I don't believe that they would have any part in many of the things that go on behind the scenes. They would have no part in an Inquisition killing the Protestant brothers in the faith. So these things are still going on. And it's unfortunate that even most of the Protestant world does not see what is going on because of the deception, the great deception that is going on today in the land. Anyway. Let's jump back into Daniel, and we'll finish up Daniel chapter 12 here. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So we're no longer talking about national Israel here, but we're talking about the people of our Heavenly Father. We're talking about the ecclesia. And I define the ecclesia, of course, the word is translated in the New King James Version in the New Testament. The word has been translated church. Well, people look at the Christian church today, or what passes at the church, and they think of the building and the people and the steeples and the great monuments of the corporate church out there, that and the great edifices that they build on the corners of the towns out there, and by the benefits that they've achieved through their incorporation with the state and the funds that they've been able to raise through the benefits of the state, through the flatteries of the state. So I like to differentiate between the ecclesia. The ecclesia is the called out ones. It's the people that are separated to him through all time. I mean, there are some that I believe attend, that you can find in those buildings. I believe that there is a remnant out there, even in the corporate church, that truly belong to him. So them I'll call the ecclesia. The other people are just part of the corporate church. So at the time of the end shall Michael, and Michael here, the name Michael says, actually literally means, and I'm trying to get that to pop up here, Mikael, actually in the Hebrew, it says, who is like God, or one who is like God, or like God, the name of an archangel and of nine Israelites, Mikael, Michael. So this is Michael, and here he is called the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And who is the children of thy people? Well, I believe that would refer to the ecclesia. And he continues, he says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. I mean, that can be nothing but a reference to the resurrection of the dead, to the last trump being sounded. And finally, you know, the people that are, of course, the trump shall sound, and those that are dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive and remain at that time, well, they'll be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Of course, we're speaking of the book of life. And many of, and of course, now we're here, we see it's explicitly a reference to the last trump. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So it doesn't say that, well, we know if we go forward into the book of Revelation, we know we get more details on that. And we will move on to the book of Revelation when we come back next time on Cross the Border, as the Spirit leads, of course. I don't know, we may do something else in between. We may take, it all depends on where His Holy Spirit leads me. He says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life. And this is the promise. This is the promise that we look forward to, all of us that have chosen by faith to live a life of obedience to our Heavenly Father. This is what we're looking forward to. This is the promise, the resurrection of the dead, everlasting life. And verse 3, and they that be wise, you know, I hope I'm one of those, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. I mean, I hope you want to be in that number. I want to be wise. And so I think it's wise that in the Proverbs, it says, the wise shall win souls, something like that. I'm, of course, paraphrasing. So that's what I want to do. I've set my life to do that, to go after and bring people into His kingdom. Because, you know, it's only if we are in His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, that we can obtain eternal life. Because, like I say, if you ain't there, you ain't going to be there. And, of course, I'm talking about, you know, the inevitable, the demise of our mortal flesh. You know, we're all going to die. There's no escaping that. We're all born with a death sentence. If you're born, you're going to die. So the inevitable is, you know, if you're not in His kingdom, when that transition occurs, you know, from mortality, the mortality of our flesh ends, then you won't be there forever. But if you are in His kingdom and you are living in His kingdom, if you have by faith consented to learn obedience, by faith you've chosen a life of obedience because you want to please the Heavenly Father, because you said, hey, the first commandment is you shall love Yahuwah, the Lord your God. First, you shall place Him before everything. You shall love the Creator more than the creation. And if you place anything before Him, that is idolatry. And if you realize that, and you set your heart to please Him, then you realize that you want to do the things that please Him. And He showed us in His Word, by His law, what pleases Him. So we repent of the things that don't please Him. By that action of repentance, He writes His law upon our minds and in our hearts, and we learn obedience, and He becomes our God, and we become His people. So, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Hell, I want to be in that number. You know, I'm raising my hand. Yes, I want to be one of those, and I hope you want to be one of those. If you're busy and you're working every day, you can support the people that are doing that, and that way be partakers in their labor. The Father hasn't called all of us to, you know, go out and street witness or sit behind a microphone day in and day out and dive into the scriptures and do what I'm doing or do what others are doing in missionary work. But He's called all of us to do what we can and what He's equipped us and provided for us to do. Daniel 12:4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And, you know, wow, what a time we live in. I mean, talk about running to and fro. People are running to and fro like they never ran to and fro before in history. "And knowledge shall increase." So we know what time of the end He's talking about. And that time of the end goes beyond the end of national Israel, which they refer to as an end time. Also, so we have another time of the end. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And it's wonderful. I really appreciate the technology that I have at my fingertips, and you have at your fingertips, those of you that are able to sit with your eSword, your computer-based Bible software, and these wonderful search tools that we have, and really ferret out the original language and meaning of our Heavenly Father's Word. And those of you that can't do it but are able to listen and follow along as I go through it, and check me out once in a while. Make sure, keep me honest, to keep me on point and keep me true to the word of Yahuwah, so that, you know, because I don't want to lead anyone astray according to His word. Teacher such as I am more accountable than others, so I should be much more fearful of going astray or teaching something that isn't true. So I'll always be honest with you, because I don't want to teach error. And if I'm wrong, if I'm missing the mark somewhere, or if you believe that I'm wrong, you know, please correct me. I ask you, as a brother in the faith, that you do correct me. You show me that kindness and that love that we're to have for one another, and correct me by His word should I make an error or go astray in some way in my effort to obediently teach His word. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, it stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the side, on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river." So we got three people here now, or three beings, one on each side of the river, and one standing upon the waters. "So the one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters," so we have one here, he's being addressed, "how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" So we know the one standing and clothed in fine linen, standing upon the waters, is an authority because the others are asking him. "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for times, time, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried." And I believe here's the reference to the time, times, and half a time. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way, Daniel, till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot, at the end of days. And here we have another, well, could we say a riddle, basically. Well, you have the times, time, and the half a time. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. But from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Well, I've researched into this as deeply as I can, and there just is no consensus on what these final two prophecies are of the 1,290 days and the 1,335 that the angel just seems to throw in at the end as an aside. No matter how I try to calculate it out as years or actual days, it doesn't make any sense to me. And so I'm not going to pretend I know. And boy, there are a lot of different theories on this and very few that agree. So I would say that anything that you come up with this is most likely just speculation and really not worth the time. There's not enough here. Perhaps as we're going through the other prophecies, we'll find something or something will pop up later. But right now, I'm just going to say that I don't know. What I do know is that the word Yom is used here and that is different than the 2300 days where they use the word Ereb, which means evening, but because that specifically refers to a tabernacle service, in that the 2300 days was until the temple would be cleansed, and it certainly the temple was cleansed in approximately 2300 days, which is 6.4 years. So we see a difference there. The word Yom is used to differentiate these two, or if they're the same prophecy, because one says, blessed is he who comes to, you know, the further date. So I really don't know. I'm going to say that it has something to do because it starts at the time that the temple is made, the abomination of the desolation. So is this something that happened within so many days of the final abomination which made the temple desolate? Well, your guess is as good as mine. I just don't know, so I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it at that for now. So thus we end the book of Daniel. So be sure to tune in next time for Cross the Border when we look for the answer to these riddles and many more. And until then, I just want you to remember that there is nothing more important in this life than that we cross the border into his kingdom and obtain eternal life. You know, I cannot think of anything more important. Certainly, we have to provide for our families. You know, and Yahshua said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And really, if you have not searched out and done a word search on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God throughout the New Testament, and you don't understand the mystery of the kingdom of God, then it's something that you need to understand. You need to drop everything else and understand the mystery of his kingdom. He said to his disciples, when they asked him a question, he said, well, why are you speaking to the people in parables? You know, why do you speak to them in riddles? And we have kind of a riddle here, a parable, and it's hard to understand. There's a mystery here. And that's what Yahshua said. He said back to them, he says, it is given to you to understand the mystery of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. And then he sat down and he explained the parables to them, the meaning of the parables. He gave them the understanding of the mystery. Now, a mystery is something that is hidden from most people. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a mystery. But he said, it is given unto you to understand the mystery of the kingdom. To them, it's not given. So, and the wicked shall not understand. We see it over and over. We see this theme. But the wise shall understand. Who are the wise? The wise are the ones who seek to understand. They place understanding before the things of the world. So Yahshua, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Well, what is his righteousness? That's to do the things that are right in his sight. That's the same thing as saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. If he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, he's saying pretty much the exact same thing. Of course, his righteousness is the righteousness of the Holy of our Heavenly Father. It is to do that which is right in His sight. And that requires repentance, because we know that we grew up in a world system where we learned to do what was wrong. We were trained by the children of disobedience to do disobedience. So that's what we have to repent of, is our disobedience. And through that repentance process, He writes His law upon our heart. He says, "But you seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Well, if you understand the conversation that was going on at the time, he said, after all these things do the world seek. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to clothe myself? How am I going to buy a car? How am I going to get a house? How am I going to pay the electric bill? He said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And I grew up in the public school system, and that's what they taught me, that what was important is that you get a career, get a job, make good money, get set for your life, seek the things of the world first, seek to make your own way in life, and then you can settle down and have a family. So there's a big difference there. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. So you can seek first the things of the world, and you may or may not get them, but you'll certainly become a slave. And there are so many that are debt slaves today by trying to acquire the things of the world. But I think our Heavenly Father has a better plan. He says, seek first My kingdom. Seek first to do what is right in My sight. Seek first the kingdom of Yahuwah and His righteousness. And He says, and all these things will be added to you. All these things that you need for your life will be added to you. There's no better deal out there. Nothing. And nothing is absolutely, absolutely nothing is more important than that we enter into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and obtain eternal life.